Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. This is the Academy Award nominees.
The Academy Award nominations have just been announced, and I'm going to comment a little bit on some of them. I am not, and I never have been, much of an admirer of the Academy Awards. They are very limited in what they actually mean, and I think they have always gotten way, way, way more attention and respect and just interest than they really deserve. What they really signify is a sort of admiration within the film industry for these movies, and that's different from the admiration of just people who just go to the movies. Also, it's just a fact that money and big promotion budgets and things like that really seem to be decisive factors in the Academy Awards so often. And it doesn't mean they're totally predictable because, of course, there's a lot of movies that have big budgets for promotion and so forth and big budgets for production. But it still remains true that money really does seem to be a very big factor. Every once in a while, some small movie will breakthrough. Even then, it's usually a small movie that pulled more than its expected weight at the box office. So anyway, these are some of my reservations about the Academy Awards. I don't think that really culture, and movies are culture, they're even art, some of them very much so. There shouldn't be contests about this. You know, it shouldn't be this one's better than that one. You're always comparing, to use an old cliche, apples and oranges. And anyway, so this is my little rant against the Academy Awards, which I'm now going to talk about because they do get all of this attention and they do tell us some things about where the movies are at the moment, sort of a snapshot of where the movies are. So yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. It turns out that two really big box office movies with big production budgets have won the gigantic, overwhelming majority of awards. We have here Oppenheimer, the movie by Christopher Nolan, a biopic of Robert Oppenheimer, who was one of the key players in the development of the atomic bomb back in the 1940s and then got into trouble with the government. And it's an interesting story that Oppenheimer has. So there you have it. That's a big, big, big winner in the nominations race. Also, Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, Robert Downey Jr., all nominated in their categories. And then, of course, Barbie, the Greta Gerwig movie starring Margot Robbie and supporting actor nominee Ryan Gosling. And these are movies, they had a slightly unusual road to theaters. They did not open in a big way in film festivals because there's been for many, many years this sort of belief among some studios and some releasing companies that opening in a film festival makes it seem esoteric or arty or something. In any case, they went straight into general release in movie theaters, and they have done very well. Oppenheimer especially. Oppenheimer has 13 Academy Award nominations, and it has also had already Golden Globe stuff, and it has had nominations from a lot of organizations: the Screen Actors Guild, the Directors Guild of America, the Producers Guild of America, the British Oscars, which are called the BAFTA Awards. So okay, it looks like Oppenheimer is doing very well in the awards and nomination races, and it has gotten a gigantic number of nominations for the Oscars. And then, of course, Barbie has also done very well. It's worth remembering that these two movies opened at pretty much the same time earlier, last year. And they were sort of grouped together as Barbenheimer, even though they're very different kinds of movies. And I think people just sort of had fun with that word and that concept. And I have to say, I'm not surprised that Barbie turned into a gigantic box office smash. It's just so doggone cute. On the other hand, Oppenheimer, I am a bit surprised, and I have to admit some admiration here. It's a 3-hour-long movie, and it's a biopic about a serious subject. I'm glad that it's gotten all this popular acclaim and now this industry acclaim. So that's all just fine. I am not a big admirer of either movie. I, in both cases, felt, well, this film really isn't such a big deal. And so I'm not happy that they're the top contenders, but hey, one could have done worse. As for some other movies that are in the running, Past Lives, which was on my 10 best of the year list, it's a wonderful movie. It's from Celine Song, a Korean-American writer and director, and it's a beautiful little love story that deals with just some lovely things, and it's a sweet, sweet, sweet movie that's really well worth seeing, and I hope that its nomination for Best Picture gets it a lot of attention that people go to see it, because it's really a wonderful film, and that, you know, is one of my favorites. Another one that was on my 10 best of 2023 list is the Zone of Interest, and there that is also in the running, and I'm very, very glad about that. It also has a lot of attention to Sandra Hüller, who is the star of it. She's also in another one of the movies that has been nominated, Anatomy of a Fall, and she's very fine in both of those movies, but I think the Zone of Interest is a really fascinating movie. It's a Holocaust film, a very different kind of Holocaust film, because it takes place almost entirely in the home of the commandant of a concentration camp, a death camp, and the Holocaust is kind of going on around the edges of the movie, but the movie is very much about that, and it's a very, very interesting and, I think, important way of bringing the Holocaust to public attention again in a very unusual manner, so that we're not just seeing the usual sort of stuff, and the usual sort of stuff is hugely important, and there's no end of Holocaust movies, and there should never be an end of them. Such a crucial subject in still relatively recent history, but this is a movie that really takes a different approach, and I'm very, very glad that it's nominated for Best Picture, and I would be very, very glad if it were to win. So just to have a quick glance at some of the other nominees for Best Picture, and by the way, I have to mention this, Greta Gerwig was not nominated as Best Director, even though Barbie was nominated for Best Picture. That always seems kind of strange. She is so much, obviously, the big creative force behind Barbie, so how her movie could be nominated for Best Picture and her not getting a nod for Best Director really seems to me to be nonsensical, and another strike against the Oscars, in my opinion. Other movies that are nominated, however, for Best Picture. American Fiction, which I think is a terrific movie based on a fascinating novel, has a wonderful, wonderful performance by Jeffrey Wright, and it's about just a fascinating subject. Again, it's about racial issues, and it's about the question of, and this is a movie made completely from an African-American perspective, and the subject of it is kind of, is it possible for somebody to be not black enough if they're black? And it raises that through the subject of literature, which I'm also happy to see. As a main focus of a big Oscar contender. So I would be very, very happy if American Fiction won. Sure, that's good. Anatomy of a Fall. This is a movie that is about half in French and half in English, but it's been nominated for Best Picture, and it's a really terrific movie. It's basically a kind of a courtroom drama, but it gets way outside the courtroom a lot of the time, too. Focuses very much on a woman, on a couple of women, in fact, and it's just a very, very good movie. It won the big grand prize at the Cannes Festival last year, so that helped to propel it to a pretty solid opening and to a lot of public attention, but it's a really good movie. It's kind of an art movie, but a very dramatically involving one, and I'm very happy to see that nominated for Best Picture. The Holdovers is a nice little movie. It's not a big favorite of mine. I think Alexander Payne, the director, has made better movies in the past, but it's always good to see the wonderful Paul Giamatti having a major role, and he's getting a lot of attention for this film as well, and it's a nice little movie. Martin Scorsese, I still think, is the greatest living American filmmaker. And I haven't liked his last couple of pictures before the current one as much as some of his earlier work, but Killers of the Flower Moon, I think, is a real return to form for Marty Scorsese. It's a big, huge, ambitious, sweeping epic. It's hours long. It's not perfect. It has its flaws, but it deals very much with Native American history, and it has a really, really fine cast, including Leonardo DiCaprio and the wonderful Robert De Niro. And again, there's attention going to him, certainly in the Oscar race. Maestro. Here we have a biopic about the incredibly great composer and conductor Leonard Bernstein, who did everything from movie music to major classical compositions. And I am just so pleased to see a movie that's about real culture to be in the running for Best Picture. I also think it's a really good movie. It was also on my top 10 list for the year. Bradley Cooper does a fine job of directing it. It has some terrific camera work in it, and he gives a really fine performance as Leonard Bernstein. There was a little bit of controversy about the artificial nose that he wears to look more like Bernstein, but hey, that's all sort of trivia. He does, I think, a performance that does a very good job of walking that difficult line between imitating a really famous person, and Bernstein was really famous. He was on television all the time and stuff like this. So between imitating and impersonating and giving a real psychological interpretation of the character. And I think that Cooper does a fine job of that in Maestro. It also has a very solid supporting cast, Carey Mulligan and others. Again, it's a really good movie, and I would be very happy if that won the Academy Award. Poor Things is a movie that I don't much like. I think it's all tricks. It's tricks and gimmicks and just goofy stuff, and it's a special effects movie, and I just don't much like it. It's gotten rave reviews from so many people, so I'm in a very small club on that, but I don't want that one to win. So I'm just going to run through my preferences again. These are my preferences. They are not predictions, but I would be very happy if Maestro won, if Past Lives won, if The Zone of Interest won, if American Fiction won, even if Anatomy of a Fall won. The other ones, maybe Killers of the Moon squeaks in there too. The other ones, not so much, and I think that really, Oppenheimer and Barbie have been absolutely overblown and overpraised ever since they opened, and so I would be very happy if they didn't, score very well in the final race. I'd be happy if some of these slightly smaller, slightly more modest, but still artistically ambitious movies were to win. As for Best Director, a very important category, sure, Jonathan Glazer does an amazing job with His Zone of Interest. And Justine Triet, who directed Anatomy of a Fall, which I said is half in French and half in English, so it's sort of partly an international movie as well as an American movie, she does a very, very fine job with Anatomy of a Fall, which is a very serious drama, but it's involving every step of the way. Again, Yorgos Lanthimos, I think he pulls a lot of tricks. I far prefer his much earlier movies to what he's been doing in these past few years. Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer is again overblown. I would be happy if he did not win. So that's where I stand on those. I'll mention very briefly the major actor categories. I'm for Bradley Cooper in Maestro. I think he does a splendid job. Or Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. Another really, really splendid job. Paul Giamatti, it's lovely to see him do a fine job in The Holdovers, but I really would be rooting for Cooper or Wright. As for Best Actress, now, here I have an overwhelming favorite, and it is Annette Bening in Naiad. I think it is far and away the best performance of any kind that I saw in 2023. Male, female, any gender you want to name. It is a phenomenal performance. One of the best performances, in fact, in years. And I think if she does not win, it will be a scandal. You will hear me moaning and groaning. She really deserves to win. Carey Mulligan is wonderful in Maestro. Sandra Hüller is wonderful in Anatomy of a Fall. Lily Gladstone gives a real breakout performance in Killers of the Flower Moon. So if she ends up being the winner, I won't be so unhappy. But I still say that Annette Bening is my overwhelming favorite for Best Actress. And by the way, that movie is streaming and everybody should see it. It's a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous movie. And let me just touch very briefly on the screenplay categories. In original screenplay, I would vote for Maestro. It's a very, very fine screenplay. Of course, it's not totally original. It's adapted from somebody's life. But hey, it's in the original screenplay category. And that would be a fine winner. But Past Lives is a quirky and unusual screenplay. I would be delighted to see that win. May December, the new movie by Todd Haynes, is a very interesting screenplay. I don't think it's a great one, but that would be also a respectable winner. But I'm basically for Maestro. And adapted screenplay, we have Barbie, which is really adapted from a line of dolls, but I am not for that one either. Again, I think that movie is just too cute for its own good. Oppenheimer, for me, just never quite gels, just never quite comes together. Poor Things, we've already established, I don't like that movie much. published. So The Zone of Interest and American Fiction are my favorites for adapted screenplay. And of those two, I have to admit I would go for The Zone of Interest. I think it's a fascinating movie. I think there can never, ever be too many Holocaust movies. This is one that really, as I said earlier, comes from an unusual point of view and brings it to our attention in a way that really makes it into a fresh topic all over again. It's also a study of evil, which I think is always important when we are thinking about the Holocaust. It's not just a study of suffering, it's very much a study of evil, and I think that's important too. But American Fiction is a wonderful adaptation of a fascinating novel, so I would be happy if that wins too. So my bottom line, I'm going to say in a negative way, I hope that Oppenheimer and Barbie don't just sweep everything. There's other worthy movies in there, and above all, I hope people go to see the good movies and don't worry about what's in the Oscar race. It is not the be-all and end-all of good qualities by a long shot. So that is my somewhat Oscar spectacle scorey this week.
For which we thank you as always and ever, David Sterritt, Films in Focus, the Academy Award nominees.
Films in Focus with David Sterritt is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.